Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
All right, you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713-780-ESPN. It is our Mailbag Monday. 713-780-3776. First one we got here. Do you think the Texans could get a second or third round pick for Brandon Cooks?
I do. And I think that Green Bay would be on line one. I think that there are teams that overstepped their boundaries and got a little too cute with how they thought they could develop and find receivers. And Green Bay's not alone, but they are the one team that obviously I pay the most attention to that realized they need a ton of help. And it ain't easy to find in season. And the free agent market of the Will Fullers of the world and guys like that that are kicking rocks or recovering from injury like OBJ, you got to be lucky that they want to play for you, and then you got to find the right price and have the money to do it. I think that you could get a second or a third for Brandon Cooks even right now.
Brandon Cooks has been pretty bad this year. I think he's been really bad.
But how much do you put on the quarterback?
I mean, Brandon Cooks flat out dropping passes.
True.
I can't put too much of that on the quarterback. And so far through his six games this year, seven catches, four catches, two catches, seven catches, four catches, four catches. I'd sign up to trade Brandon Cooks as fast as I could. My fear here is what you get in return. Because I hate. One of my biggest pet peeves in sports, oh, they should trade Tunsil. They should trade Brandon Cooks. Okay, if I give you a sixth rounder for Brandon Cooks, would you do it?
Yeah.
Whoa, absolutely. You would trade a sixth for Brandon Cooks?
Oh, if I'm the Texans, no. If I'm the team making the trade,
well,
of course, if that's what you want. Yeah, from a Texans perspective, you still got to get the right price for him. You're not going to give him away.
Which is why I hate that kind of conversation. Oh, I would trade Laremy Tunsil. What if the best offer you have for Laremy Tunsil is a fifth-round draft pick?
No.
You're not going to do that. Like, there's more to that question. So, for a second-rounder, I would trade Brandon Cooks quickly. A third-rounder becomes a little bit more difficult, and his contract structure is a little bit difficult to trade him this year as opposed to next year as well.
But I'm saying, you already said he's not been very productive either.
I think he's been bad.
So then for a third round pick, you're getting a player that could turn into a quality player for you for multiple years. Take the third and get out from under him.
Obviously, I'd be a little bit more hesitant to do it for a third as opposed to a second. If somebody called me right now and said, here's a second rounder, I couldn't say yes fast enough.
I agree.
Third rounder, I still probably do it. But if the conversation now turns into a fourth rounder, I'm not trading Brandon Cooks for a fourth rounder.
But I'd like to build up some competition between a couple of teams,
right,
get the most I can for him, and realize, based on whether it is a combination of the quarterback and him, or the fact that a lot of guys just quit when they know that they're not going anywhere and they just don't want to get hurt, put him in a different environment and get as much as you can for him in return.
713-780-ESPN, our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 1538, how long before Boone is fired? I say this Friday.
No, he signed an extension. It's going to be interesting how the Yankees handle both him and Cashman. My Yankee friends that are fairly close to the team have said that there is a legit possibility that Cashman could go. The bailout caveat for him is the fact that LeMahieu did not play and neither did Benintendi, a guy that he went out and got for this playoff run that might save his bacon. And from an Aaron Boone perspective, it's like on a lesser scale with Dusty. His players seem to like him and they like playing for him. And so while they're still trying to figure it all out, and because they've gotten a lot cheaper with their money, I don't think after signing him to an extension, they're going to be quick to get out from under him.
Boone, to me, is really safe. I don't think that they're going to fire Boone. Cashman, I still think, is like less than 50-50 they get rid of him. Cashman more likely than Boone. It is also a critical offseason for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. And usually critical offseasons aren't the offseasons that you want a whole lot of change in a front office. They have a huge decision on this whole Aaron Judge entering free agency and how much they're willing to give Aaron Judge. I don't see much change with the Yankees from the manager department or the front or the
you bring up a good point, but let me tell you how that factors in. Remember now, when Aaron Judge said he wanted to keep everything out of the media when they made the offer that they made and the discussions that happened even with arbitration before the season. And Brian Cashman completely ignored that and went out and tried to cover his ass and say, we made this offer to Aaron. Aaron didn't want it and basically called him out. And Judge wasn't happy. Judge could be that guy. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Rodgers-esque or anything, but in the negotiations, basically say, you got a better chance of signing me without Cashman, or I didn't like what Cashman did, and play big baller here a little bit, too,
and throw it
into the mix.
I think Judge is going to go wherever he gets the most
biggest
money.
Bag.
And I feel like I don't think he has anything against New York, even though they boo him whenever he struggles.
When he came into the dugout late in the season, when he kissed the jersey, it might have even been in the playoff series against Cleveland, where he said, I love New York. So
I ultimately think he stays, but somebody
too.
Else
they
is going
to pay, though.
Yeah, I think that they do overpay. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. How many games would Davis Mills have to win for you two to let him be the starter next year?
I think there's a chance he could be the starter next year if you've got to develop the kid that you've drafted in the draft and don't think he's ready right away to take over from day one, a la a Kenny Pickett or guys like that. You can get the right guy, but don't want to throw him to the wolves and have him be David Carr and get the crap beat out of him either.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that he could still start next year, but I think that there's no chance he's your franchise quarterback.
See, I don't think there's a chance he's your starting quarterback if you draft another quarterback. I think they'd be willing to just let the rookie go. And this offensive line's good enough to where it's not going to be a David Carr situation where everybody's just lousy and David Carr is going to get, or the rookie quarterback's going to get crushed. The offensive line's good enough to protect at least reasonably well. I think that there's a shot that he could. The wins don't matter to me. Like, the wins don't matter to me. The path to Davis Mills being the starter on this team next year is if Nick Caserio is looking where he's at in the draft, and he's like, you know what? We have so many holes to fill. We're still more than a year away from being truly competitive, and we think that Will Anderson is a better football player than Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, whatever quarterback that you want. Where you're going best available no matter what, and you're willing to pass up on a quarterback for another year, that would also signal, though, that you don't love any of these college quarterbacks.
Right, yeah, no, look, I think that, you definitely have to get the right guy, just like when we were talking in the past, that Nick Caserio has to trust his own gut feeling in terms of, player moves and player evaluation. There's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. If none of them really excite him, he has to make a very tough decision, knowing that you got a guy that's not the guy. But you might extend the rebuild by a year if you don't go get another guy in this year's draft. And that's something that he's going to be, scrutinized by the court of public opinion, the fan base.
713-780-ESPN. Your questions for the Killer Bees, 713-780-3776. 8089 asks, what are the odds A.J. Hinch manages the Astros next year?
Zero.
I give it like a 1% chance. I was greater on this maybe 2 weeks ago, whenever the jury maybe was still out on Dusty Baker. I believe the reports, though, that the contract's all but done for the Astros and James Click, that they'll bring Dusty Baker back on a one-year deal. So, I think that's going to happen. So, if Dusty, though, decides, hey, I just won the World Series, maybe I'm going to retire, maybe Joe Espada takes this Miami job before that decision happens, I'll put it at less than 1%, but greater than zero. If it was 2 weeks ago, I'd have put it at like 3%. I think it's very, very low. I can't imagine another dude being the manager on this team next year other than Dusty Baker.
Yeah, no, that's why I said zero. I mean, once the Heyman report came out that they've already discussed it or that there will be an offer made, and then now they're going back to another World Series, and he's getting all the love and flowers he's getting from all the national media types and the players. He's not going anywhere, and A.J. Hinch, I don't think, is going anywhere in Detroit either. But even if he did, I don't think he's coming back here.
Yeah, Dusty, to me, is the main. One of the other things that Dusty said the other day that made me believe that he's going to be the manager of the Astros next year, in the past, whenever he wasn't sure about his next year, now it happened earlier this season, it happened last year as well, he would say things to the media that said, look, I want to be back. I want to be back here. He had the thing where he said a couple months ago, if you win a World Series, could you ride out in the sunset? I'm paraphrasing. He's like, no, if we win one, I want to win two.
Yep.
He was asked the other day at his press conference, Dusty, you're playing on the final year, you're managing on the final year of your deal. What do you think about that? If Dusty wasn't certain that he was coming back next year or not coming back next year, he would probably make another push to keep the job.
Sure.
He said, I don't want to be a distraction to this team. I'll worry about that when we need to worry about that. That, to me, told me he's already got the deal done.
Got in the back pocket.
Yeah,
yep.
He's just waiting for the ink to dry. I don't think he says that if he wasn't 100% sure he was back. I think that he is back, no doubt about it. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 8755, why wouldn't Caserio draft a quarterback this year? There is legit quarterback coming out this year who would be a better quarterback next year than this year. The Caleb Williams kid from USC is pretty darn good. Quinn Ewers, he's kind of regressed for me a little bit. I like this year's quarterback class more than next year's quarterback class, but I can't speak for Nick Casario.
Right. We don't know because we've talked about body type, and he likes a bigger quarterback. He doesn't, you know, might not be enamored with a Bryce Young that's a little on the slight of build side, but you know he's a highly intelligent quarterback that's capable of keeping his poise. But again, it's all on his shoulders. It's all in his gut and what he wants to do. I would think he's going to draft a quarterback this year regardless, but stranger things have happened.
If you're looking at this team as just so, so bad, and I mean, we use Will Anderson as the name because Will Anderson's like the most popular top player. If the Texans are drafting one or two and they have a decision to make between Will Anderson and either Stroud or Young, maybe it's the number one pick to have to be making that decision. I could see a scenario where Casario's like, let me take the best available player here because we're not a quarterback away.
Well, plus with the Browns pick getting better by the week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe another one of the guys slide. That's why I said I think he'll take a quarterback. I'm not sold on the fact that it has to be with the top overall pick now because you still have plenty of other guys that are going to be hyper-evaluated that give you options in the first round.
What if you're picking 1 and 4? And, look, it takes a long way to get there. And you would also have to love all three quarterbacks. But what if you love Bryce Young, you love Stroud, you love Levis, maybe you have them ranked in whatever order, but you're good with any one of those three and you're picking 1 and 4? You take the generational edge rusher and then you take whatever quarterback falls to you. Now, you have to love all of them. Yep. You have to love all three.
And you have to be willing to take whichever the three, whether you're the last, you know, it's like the Rockets. Jabari Smith fell into your lap, but you had to be willing to accept any one of the three picks based on how everybody was changing on a daily basis. You got to have the same kind of optimism and approach when you look at the quarterback.
Ocho, 3 games into the NBA season, which rookie has impressed you the most?
Paolo hasn't looked bad, man. Paolo's been playing his tail off, dunking over people. Looks like he's a grown-ass man already.
Ocho says there's really only one answer, and I know where Ocho's going here. He wants us to say Benedict Mathurin, who is
That's
the leading
always
scorer.
Been his boy.
He is the leading rookie scorer. 3 games in, 24 points a game for Benedict Mathurin. Didn't put that up against the Cougars in the NCAA tournament last year. 713-780-ESPN.
Dustin, the sources said, can someone in Major League Baseball get a new designer? These shirts are awful. That was awful. The white shirt. And it looked like someone just really quickly put it together. Yeah. You can do better, MLB.
I'm not an LCS shirt guy. There's probably a little chance I was already going to buy it, but
the
no
hat's
chance.
Not bad.
I haven't seen the hat.
The hat's the curse
Actually,
of World Series 2022 with the Astros logo.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad not as bad. The shirt. The shirt was awful. Speaking of the Astros, what's the legacy if this Astros run ends with another title? What is it if they don't? Skiller Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
One ball, two strikes. Judge on the ground. Presley's got it. Easy flip. Ball game over. And the Houston Astros win the American League pennant. The Astros are going back to the World Series. Back-to-back seasons for the fourth time in the last 6 years. A dominating performance and a dominating postseason for the Astros. A perfect 7-0 to start this postseason.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Old Blue Eyes himself. Oh, I love Frank Sinatra on days like today. When you go into New York and you sweep the New York Yankees, oh, I love hearing Old Blue Eyes sing.
My dad's favorite of all time, and it sounds even sweeter when we're doing it to mock all of the pain-in-the-ass fans of the New York Yankees.
They swept the Yankees. They hated the Yankees.
Like I said, it would have, you know, everybody had this storybook finish they wanted to see go through the Yankees, go through the Dodgers. The fact that you just had the Yankees to get through, to get there, but that you took it one better and not just got through them, but you destroyed them in 4 straight games, it does make it pretty sweet just to have gotten there having done that. Now finish the deal.
Yep, got to finish the deal. This can't be the peak. This can't be the pinnacle.
Don't be the Golden State Warriors. Don't get all your accomplishments out of the way before you get that final one that is the most important.
I mean, well, Warriors won how many? Like the Warriors.
I'm just talking about when you set the record for regular season wins and
everything. I get that. But if the Warriors in this generation, how many titles do they have now? 4? Is it 4?
I think so.
They have 4 titles. So, like, you can look back and nitpick the one, but they have four titles. So like you can say, well, you won 73 games, you set the regular season record, but you didn't get the championship. Okay, well, we have four others. Like, the Astros don't have that luxury of saying that. The Astros don't have the luxury of saying, well, we have multiple. So when you ask the question, 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, what's the legacy of this Astros run if they win the title? What is it if they don't?
I mean, look, you know what? There's a lot of people, and if you don't agree with me, that's why we do what we do. I've said that for me to really validate everything, to get out of the shadow of 17 and make everybody realize once and for all just how talented this organization and this team has been over this golden run of Astros baseball, they got to win one more. And they don't want to be the Braves that had the multiple appearances but only won one. And if you can win another one, and because of the distance between 17 and 22 and with only four guys left standing from 17 and do it almost a different way with a different set of players and a ton of pitching, It'll shut everybody up. Jeff Passan wrote a column that I'm sure that he was like biting through his teeth and his tongue and pissed off that he had to write. But he had to write about how the Yankees were the Astros' daddy. And he had to get, again, he still, of course, will take his subtle party, you know, shots at the Astros. But at a certain point, everybody's coming around from a media perspective to the inevitable, which is this is just one hell of a talented organization and team that keeps finding ways for sustainability and long-term success.
I want the second title pretty bad. And I'm probably not as strong about like this golden era for the Houston Astros than some. Like, I was having the conversation with some buddies a little bit earlier. Like, could you say it's a disappointment if they don't get the second? Could you say that they underachieved? Like, I can't say those things about a team that has one World Series title, that has four World Series trips, that has six straight ALCSs. Like, that's not an underachievement. There's no one in the last 6 years that have the accolades that the Houston Astros have, even if they don't win this World Series. So that's not an underachievement. That's not a disappointment. It's more of like it left you wanting more. Like, I think that's as far as I can go with it. Like, it leaves you wanting more. But part of the reason that I want the second, for a lot of the reasons that you said, validating it to the rest of the country, even though I don't really care about the rest of the country's opinion about what I think is the best baseball team in the last 6 years in Major League Baseball. I don't want to have those conversations, though. I don't want to be sitting in a bar in 10 years and being like, were the Astros a disappointment? Were they underachieving? Because I think that's stupid. No way. Like, there is not another team in Major League Baseball over the last 6 years that are as decorated as the Houston Astros are. So what are they an underachievement to? Compared to what? They are the best six-year span that you have going on right now in Major League Baseball. Now, I will say that it leaves you wanting more, especially with what happened in 2017, the way that it's perceived, the way that we learned about what happened a little bit later on in 2019.
Look, I think that it's different for every organization. Some organizations, especially mid-market teams that could make a run like this, whether they won it all at the end of the year or not, overwhelming success story. Couldn't be happier. Well, they'll always remember that era of their team. When it comes to this team, because of every hurdle that they've had to overcome and the magnitude of the one big hurdle from 17, you're never going to shut up the dumbass fans. Sure. I want to be clear about that because Lamont and I have gone back and forth about this. There's a misconception about the fact of what I was saying. I said from a national media perspective, you're going to finally get them to do what a lot of them don't want to do, which is even with Bob Costas likes types, you're going to have to give them their flowers and acknowledge, separate from 17, this has been a hell of a run of talent and ability and not about cheating. The fans are never going to change. The Yankee fans are never going to be jaded and twisted, nor are the Dodger fans. But from a national perspective, we can get a little less for our sanity of some of the people that are supposed to be objective national people, giving them more of the complimentary stuff that they deserve to get.
See, I don't even care about that, though. Like, I don't care about that.
I personally do.
And I think more people would agree with you, honestly. I think that that's probably more of the popular opinion. I want it more for the city to not have the whole conversation. Sure. Oh, yeah, well, you won it in 17. That's an asterisk year. Okay, well, now I can point to 2022.
Your only baseball title ever is tainted.
Right, and a lot of people would say that you know, you have a conversation that you're meeting up with some dude in L.A. on business, whatever. Like, that's a conversation that would come up. If you get another World Series title where you're like, well, here we go, 2022, what are you going to say now? No one can say anything else. Like, that to me is the biggest reason why. It gives you that card that you can play whenever you're talking about great periods of times or just talking about this golden era for the Astros.
I think from your point of, from that point that you're making, it's for the city, right? I think
Go
that
from,
I think for the city itself to be able to validate how much enjoyment.
See, I don't know if I would go so far as to say validate.
The city hates the fact that they know that they still had a damn good baseball team that won it in 17.
I don't think the city needs the validation for it. Like, the city, I believe, already... The city, to me, wants the validation more to play that card when they're talking to somebody that's not an Astro fan.
Right, but I'm saying, overall, for the big picture of the be able to hold your head up high and not just have to say what no one else wants to believe about 17, to say... You know what? 5 years later, when almost all those guys were gone, when everybody was still talking about it, but there really wasn't anything to it, they put the hammer down and they dropped it on everybody that came their way in Major League Baseball. They came out unscathed getting to the World Series and then finished the deal. That's what I think for the city's perspective to be able to say our only baseball title, a lot of people want to put a little funny little star next to. They could say, you know what? And we loved it so much, and we knew what you didn't. We did it again.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Scott, you're in the high with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Scott?
How y'all doing today?
What's up, Scott?
So, would y'all have been upset if Dusty had pulled Altuve after a first or second at-bat last night?
Yes.
Without question.
Why?
Why?
I mean, he'd only had, one hit, maybe two?
He had two hits yesterday.
Scott, how many did Aaron Judge have? The Yankees weren't thinking about moving or pulling him. I mean, he's earned
They moved him out of the number one spot, though, to lead off the game.
He's not traditionally been an everyday leadoff hitter either, but they kept him in the top three in the order to get as many at-bats as possible. Certain guys that have paved the way. We had this conversation when Jeremy was out on Friday, and the fact of the matter is he's done enough to earn the fact that even if he slumps, you don't move him. If you want, you know, revisionist history, but if you want to be reminded of the Astros in 17, George Springer struggled mightily in the playoffs. Everybody wanted to move him down and take him out of the lineup. And you know what he did? He won MVP in the World Series. Altuve hit 300 this year when no one thought he was going to get there. He with the leadoff home runs, the power, the average, the things that he's done, and he's done it over his career here. There's no way that you say because of a 21 at bat span, you're going to take him out of the lineup.
Scott, I have a question for you.
Scott, midway through the game, if you'd have sat him down and put somebody else out there, I wouldn't have had a problem with him.
Scott,
myself.
Who would you have put out there?
I would have guessed you're going to put Diaz out there.
You're going to play Aledmys Diaz, who has had less success than Jose Altuve in the playoffs, to replace the greatest Houston Astro of all time?
If it would just let it just so he could take a deep breath and just relax a minute.
If they were up 10 runs after two at bats, then I might have thought about sitting him down. Even then, I don't think
Scott,
I did.
Jose Altuve was on base three times yesterday. He didn't make hard contact. Well, he wasn't finding a whole lot of barrels, but he had two hits, a walk, and scored two. His batting average is almost up to 100 in the playoffs.
Then you got to go and finish it like that.
Scott, appreciate the call. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Yeah. But you're not sitting the greatest Houston Astro of all time for a dude who's had less postseason success this year than Jose Altuve.
And let's be clear, he's the greatest Astro of all time in a lot of people's minds, but it's not like you're doing it because you want to do him a solid at the end of his career as his Twilight swan song. He's still a fully capable, above-average Major League Baseball player. That's why you don't do it. On top of all the things that you said, he still was part of the reason why you had the season you had as the Houston Astros.
He was the second-best offensive player on a 100-plus win team that you need to get going. If you want to get going, I guess you don't need to because you're 7-0 without him getting going. You would like him to get going because it might make things a little bit easier. 713-780-ESPN. What does this say about the Astros if they win the title? What if they don't? 713-780-3776. The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hitters count, Pena 3-1. And he swings and lifts one in the air deep to left field. He'll watch it fly. Jeremy Pena. One swing of the bat and the Astros tie it at 3.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Twitch is crushing, who was it just called? I already forgot his name. Twitch is crushing him. Scott. They're crushing Scotty. Scotty too hotty. They're saying, can Seth Martinez play second base? What about Christian Vasquez? Move Yuli to second, Diaz to first. All these players.
I mean, second base, the only answer, if there was an answer and there's not, would have been Hensley, just because of the fact you want to see if he can hit and maybe then be a guy you could use at the DH. But again, and that's like I said, when you were out Friday.
No, I want to see Seth Martinez.
We basically, I kiboshed the crap out of that as soon as possible. Like, that's like the one, not the one guy, but of anybody, that's the guy that's earned his stripes enough that you don't sit him down.
Who was talking about sitting down Jose Altuve?
Brendan also brought up the one he said he texted you about too, about the hypothetical, what would you rather?
Yeah.
And I said, I wouldn't take one win in New York coming back here to try and win either six or seven.
Or let it play out.
Yeah. I would have let it play out because I had too much confidence in this team.
Yeah.
But I think that's how it also spurned into the Jose conversation.
If you would have told me at the start of the series though, that you're up 3-2 heading home, that would have been hard to say no to. But once you're up 2-0 in the way that it was rolling for you, and it didn't seem like the Yankees had any sort of answers offensively, I think it was a pretty easy call. 713-780-ESPN. What does it say about the Astros if they win another one? What does it say if they don't? 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Sean, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, I just have one thing to say. So, as much as I would like to believe that if the Astros win this, all the cheating stuff could be behind us, I'd be willing to bet so much money that if the Astros beat the Phillies this World Series, there's going to be all kinds of new shit and stuff coming out, all kinds of new allegations. I don't think it's going to be the end of it.
Appreciate you stopping short there a little bit, Sean. He said the first two letters, but he didn't say the second last. Yeah. He stopped short of that. Great job there, Sean. Way to stop short of it. I also, look, I kind of agree with what Sean says. I don't think you're ever going to escape everything that is said. You're always going to be the butt of jokes. You're always going to have Passan taking a shot. You're always going to have Bob Costas say that they're not banging trash cans anymore. You're always going to have that, even if you win another. Even like what Bob Costas said yesterday, he was talking about the greatness that is the Houston Astros. Now, the setting, I didn't think was great. I thought the timing was very poor. And I thought that he said some comments kind of subtly, like banging on the trash can.
It was backhanded.
You're poking at the Astros. Right. You're poking at the Astros and, you know, your distaste for what happened. I think that a lot of people in baseball and then within the baseball circles aren't honest with what was all going on in Major League Baseball. Like, people always point to the I said keep the same energy on Twitter yesterday to Bob Costas about the Yankees and the whole Apple Watch and all of that stuff. The reason we know so much about the Astros was because they did a hardcore deep dive investigation, interviewed every player, executive, everybody that was involved in the sign-stealing scandal, and gave every single one of those dudes immunity to tell the absolute truth and nothing but the whole truth. If you did that with the Yankees, don't you think there would be a lot more that came out than just some unsealed envelope that talked to one employee?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that they didn't think that they had the protection of Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball to say, if we don't say anything, we can't be incriminated at all, and we don't have to say anything because we should have been incriminated by now. I think that the big thing that I keep saying is it's not all going to go away. I'm not saying that just because they win this title, I think it's more important than any other franchise to win this second one and win it this year and be able to put a lot of the critics to bed in terms of being able to force them to have to give you the same way you took a Yankee fan base that was in complete denial about what's happened in the recent history about who eliminated them and how, and whether it be buzzers and trash cans or whatever it might be. There was this entire fan base that believed that all they needed to do was see them one more time to validate that it should have been them, not us. And that was just a fact. The way that you put them to bed started to where they didn't have anything to say anymore. Now, they still want to go all the way back to 17 and cry over spilled milk. Well, then, you know, get a box of Kleenex, but at least you get the respect of the fact that they're doing it. They've been doing it. It's over a long period of time now. And the fact that they have multiple World Series means it wasn't just one year and one World Series they didn't deserve. They were there multiple times. They got a second one, and that's why you have to give them the respect.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Dr. Dre, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Dre?
Hey, fellas. What's up, man?
What's up, Dre?
Hey, I want to mention pregame, game one, Bob Costas, Jimmy Rollins, and Curtis Granderson acting all sanctimonious before game one and talking about the cheating scandal and the Yankees don't forget. But the minute Carlos Correa is on set, they move on. and then games three and four, it's kind of, you know, still talked about a little bit, but they started, you know, but You know, and then also Astros Twitter melting down in the first inning. Oh no, we're down 2-0, 3-0, and everybody's losing their marbles. Y'all didn't watch game one of the Mariners where we came back and won? I was in the stands game one against the Mariners. I took junk from Mariners fans, and hey, you just stood your ground and said, hey man, just a little bit at a time, little bit at a time. Keep chipping away, and sure enough, Jordan won it for us.
Appreciate the
time,
fellas. Thanks, Drake. The part of yesterday's game was like, I love that they came from behind. You're down 3-0 going to the third. You come from behind. You give up the lead kind of late in that game. The Yankees took the lead in the sixth inning. You respond with two more in the seventh. The Astros this year during the regular season have not been like this tremendous, great, come-from-behind team. Saw it game one of the ALDS, saw it game two of the ALDS, and you saw it yesterday. So the Astros have given you reason to believe that they can mount a comeback.
I think the perseverance to do it multiple times in the same game is what really stuck out to me, because you're right. During the regular season, they were front runners. They struggled when it came to coming from behind. But to answer the bell multiple times, a lot of teams having to sit through a delay like that and then have a two-spot put on them in the first inning would have said, you know what, we're in a comfortable position. It's not going to be our night. We'll just gear up for Monday, try to keep this thing from going back to H-Town. We're still in the driver's seat. But the fact that they answered the bell there, then answered the bell after the Bader home run, basically told you, hey, look, this team's moxie, it's makeup, it's different, man. It's however and wherever the situation pops up, we can handle it, we're ready for it, and we're going to give you our best shot. We might not always come out on top, but we got a squad that has a ton of resilience, which is why when you and I were talking about this last week, that's one of the things that stands out to me the most about this entire squad. Their resiliency to say no situation is too big or no mountain too high to climb, and they never stop fighting.
As far as the TBS pregame stuff, this is why I always talk about actions and not words. I think this is another great example of actions, not words, when it comes to the sign-stealing stuff. Rollins, whatever. Rollins, Granderson, Pedro, Bob Costas. I didn't see game one, but I certainly trust Dre talking about, oh, Yankees, don't forget. Yankees chomping at the bit. They want this because they haven't played the Astros since everybody found out about 2017. And you talk about it, but then you start, like you said, they bring up Correa. They don't even ask Correa about it. Why
they didn't
not?
Ask Correa what it felt like to watch the guy that replaced you kicking ass, too.
I mean, Correa got $35.1 million. So I don't think he's too sad about
still.
It. But you go to that, it's like, okay, well, you're talking a big game whenever you have the best source that you can ask questions about it right there on set with you. Why not do that? I point to the Yankees where you have Brian Cashman, where he's talking about, you know, the Astros did these horrific things in Major League Baseball, yet you're the organization that had Carlos Beltran, and that's where he invented the system before he came to the Astros, and then you hire Carlos Beltran to be in your organization. You hire Cameron Maben, 2017 Houston Astro, to be in your organization. You signed a washed-up utility player named Marwin Gonzalez, who was the biggest benefactor of what happened in 2017.
See him last night?
George Springer got a huge contract. Alex Cora got re-signed to be the Boston manager after they fired him for a year. AJ Hinch gets another job. The actions of Major League Baseball players,
Cole?
All of those people. Cole wasn't a hitter, though. So, and like, he wasn't around
in
17.
Saying, but you
either.
Can't beat him, so you take him.
Sure, but he wasn't around in 17.
No, I'm not saying about 17, but I get it.
But so, like, you have all of these things that, oh, these people are terrible, heinous, can't look at them in the eyes. But then you sign them to huge contracts, you bring them into your organization. Actions speak louder than words. It's easy to get behind a microphone and act tough, but you know what really was going on in baseball for that entire decade.
Well, you also take it with a grain of salt because these guys don't watch the team as closely as we do, and they don't see every game. I go back to Darling the other night talking about Javier. Looking to pop the glove at like 95, 96. That's not something he does. He's normally around 92, 93, maybe 94. Now, his average velo was a little bit over 94, but we saw late in the season, especially when he knew what role he would be filling, his fastball was consistently faster than that. But these guys don't watch him the way that we do. They go back and they watch some tape. They watch some film. But you know what? It's about when you're representing it on the national stage, knowing that you've got a very hypersensitive, critical audience that knows the team maybe better than you do in a lot of ways, and you've got to be on your A game, too.
Oh, yeah, I think that they do. Like, you had everybody was talking about this two-hole conversation. Like, that hadn't been a conversation for the last 2 months. Join Culture Map October 27th. That's Thursday for the tailgate. This is not your typical party in a parking lot. The tailgate is a celebration of the culture and lifestyle of sports, and the fans who cheer them on expect tailgate-inspired tastings from your favorite restaurants, including Street to Kitchen, Dish Society, Sticky's Chicken, and many more. Plus, signature drinks, game day activities, and entertainment. Tickets are on sale now and include all food and drinks. Go to culturemaptailgate.com to get your tickets today. Use promo code ESPN for $15 off any ticket type. Well, that's the Wheelhouseman. About that Astros sweep over the Yankees. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
2-2, and Bregman into right center, a base hit. Alex Bregman delivers the go-ahead run.
They out for Houston. They got Houston.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Astros sweeping the Yankees off to the World Series for the fourth time in 6 years. Astros with a hostile takeover of the American League. They've won the ALCS four times. They've been to it six times. In the decade they've been in the AL, they've only been in the AL 10 years, and they've been to its championship series half a dozen times and has won it four times. Jake Asman of the Wheelhouse is hanging out with us. Jake, I tip my cap to you. I'm surprised you were the one making the appearance here in Crosstalk.
My day.
It's your day.
Next man up.
I'm surprised that BK or Cody didn't take it off your plate today.
It's my day. My my responsibility. I got here early. I'm ready to talk sports.
To your credit, you can't hear you. Can't hear you. Can't hear a word you're saying.
My mic is on.
Now you're on.
To your credit, it wasn't my fault. To your credit, Astro, you predicted Astros in five. Now, I know you've been a lifelong fan of that team. Is it warranted, and do you expect change at either the general manager or the manager position? Because we said I don't think Boone's going anywhere, but Cashman might.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now your mic is off.
You guys miss Brendan.
Let's turn this one
going on here.
Don't ever say that again.
I don't know. I really don't know, to be honest. I mean, if I was running the team, I'd make changes, but I got no idea.
I don't want to sit here and like pick on you too much, but what is your viewpoint of the Astros? Like, I know that you respect this team. You said Astros in five, so I know that your view of the Astros is a good one. You think very highly of this team, but watching it from that perspective, watching what the Astros did, sweeping it, like, what is your takeaway from all of it?
Well, I mean, they've been the best team in the AL for the entire season. Yeah. So,
First half of the season, the Yankees had the best record.
Yeah, but I mean, the Astros have the playoff pedigree. They've been there, done that. They've owned the Yankees. So until the Yankees beat them in a big spot, I thought the Astros were the best team. I've said it all year.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it came to fruition. That is the case. How was Vegas? Did you come out of
Vegas was fun. Came out a winner overall, which was nice.
You
we had a
always
great time.
Win in Vegas.
No, last time I lost.
I thought the last time you won a ton and you were like, you know, had a few commas in there.
Well, that was at the draft. We had a trip in August. Vegas was great. Big thank you to Circa for having us out there. They take care of us, man. If anyone needs a great place to stay, Circa Resort and Casino on Fremont. It's awesome.
You passed on the Raiders game, the Texans game, for the opportunity to watch your big green Jets.
I passed on it just to watch all the games. Yeah. Circa all day.
And unfortunately, you lost a running back in the process.
And their best offensive lineman. Yeah. So even when the Jets win, they still lose because, of course.
The sports book there is awesome.
It's amazing. We had an absolute blast. They took such good care of us. We met a bunch of listeners who were there in town for the weekend, too. So a ton of Houston fans made the trip for the game yesterday.
Did you, Saturday, did you go watch the USC stuff early?
Yeah, we were at Stadium Swim on Saturday. So.
Well, what a great view. That outdoor, did you see that with the pool? It's like a scoreboard, but these guys are at the pool, and you've got, like, in the pool, a massive scoreboard full of screens that show every game.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Cool. So you're watching the fights from the pool?
Yeah, they started at 11 a.m. because it was Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. So it was crazy, man. I mean, you would get so much done from a sports viewership standpoint being on Pacific time. College football starts at 9 a.m. out there. NFL football starts at 10 a.m. So the Texan Raider game started at 1 o'clock. I mean, it was lottery players?
What's that?
You like big lotto players?
No.
You would have been on the West Coast. When I was in Portland, not only to Jake's point, was it awesome to like go out on a Saturday night, roll out of the sack, and know that you got NFL football starting at 10 a.m.
It's tough, though.
And it's going to go all day and basically all night. But the Oregon lottery allowed you to pick games. And so you could do, you know, trifectas, and you could pick games, and you could pick whatever, however many games you wanted, and they rolled it into the Oregon lottery. So we'd run down to the corner store, place all the freaking wagers on the games, and then just go right back to basically laying down watching football for, like, the entire Sunday. It was awesome.
The one thing that I've thought about when living in, like, the West Coast time when it comes to sports, because it all starts early.
Yeah.
I always feel like I'd be bored at night.
Yeah, because you don't have the West Coast late game to rely on. You're done by
like
8. Game.
Like, what do you do the rest of
the national TV games? It's always like during rush hour at 5 p.m. West Coast time.
Yeah, you're done by 8.
You go to a Vegas Knights game then. Started at 7 on Saturday.
Yeah, but the real troopers on the West Coast don't go out till midnight.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends where on the West Coast you are. Vegas is perfect. All the sports are done. You never have to choose between watching a game and going out somewhere because everything's already done by the time you want
to
go out.
I like to go to one of the steakhouses out there in Vegas, Cleaver's, and like they're open until 2 in the morning. And they're like a steakhouse, and they're like most popular hours are from 10 p.m. to midnight. It's like we went one night at like 7, and it's a ghost town. And it's like, what's going on?
It really
on?
Is.
It's such a late night moving scene there.
Miami and Vegas are the two most middle of the night is when it gets going cities I've ever seen in my life. Because Miami is the same way. Nightlife really doesn't get going till midnight, 1 a.m., and then it rolls till 5 a.m., 6 a.m.
Nuts.
And Vegas is the same way. Like, you're right. People don't go to dinner till 9, 10, and then gear up for going strong until 2 or 3.
It's quite a scene there in Las Vegas. Y'all participate in the nightlife at all?
We did. 3 days is more than enough, though.
I think so.
I feel like a weekend trip in on Thursday night, out Sunday was like the right amount of time for us to be there.
Any good eating?
Yeah, a couple of us went to the Golden Steer Steakhouse Friday night.
Okay.
Never been before. It was fantastic.
What'd you get?
I got a porterhouse.
Ooh.
Got a bunch of apps. It was a tremendous time. Even Cody enjoyed it. You know, Cody has a very high bar for food.
Brandon, how did you miss this? I guess you were traveling. Cody did the show Friday shirtless or with just like a wide open, unbuttoned like Tommy Bahama?
I would love to do that.
It was electric.
I would absolutely do that.
I know, but Cody did it.
Yeah.
Cody's comfortable in his skin. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Very handsome man.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Cody's good looking.
He was rolling big baller style when I saw some of the videos on Twitter.
You know what I would like to do? I want to do a show from a beach. Like just sit in the sand, have the waves come crashing in, and do a show from the beach.
Electronically, that seemed like it'd be a challenge. But
you're not in the water. You're on the beach. You're not in the water.
Live from
the Killer Beach.
Galveston?
Yeah, from the Killer
Bees Beach Party.
Yeah.
Killer Beach.
Who wouldn't love that?
Don't say Galveston. I mean, there's nicer beaches.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's
you guys
make
get
that
to go to Vegas. Why can't we go somewhere?
Hey, you could. I was trying to think local. Yeah, we've done shows
I'm trying
from
to
Galveston
think
before.
Yeah, let's do that. That'd be outstanding. Texans.
We're going to do it from Miami.
Let's go to Clearwater and do it in like... late May?
Oh, spring training.
I think it's spring training, but all right, late May.
Okay. No, I would do spring training or sometime around then, but I would do the hotels in Miami, too.
Yeah, not so bad. Texans lost to the Raiders yesterday, which is great for Embrace the Suck. Competitive throughout. I thought Davis Mills probably played. I think he played his best game. Not probably. In my opinion, he played his best game. But the ugly, ugly rushing defense for the Houston Texans again rears its ugly face. Texans just aren't going to be very good defensively at stopping the run. That's just who this team is.
At least I don't have Derrick Henry coming up.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What'd you make of the game yesterday, Texans Raiders?
I feel like you got the result most people expected, right? I mean, they were a 7-point underdog. It looked like maybe they had a chance to cover. They were in the game into the fourth quarter. I mean, ultimately, they had a pretty good day, though, right? I think at this point, I'm with you guys. Losing's better for this football team long-term than winning. And the Browns lost yesterday. So right now, the Texans would be picking number 2 and number 5 if the season were to end today.
Two top 5 picks. If you're picking number 2 and 5, you just use last year's draft as the example here. Second pick was Derek Stingley Jr., which Sauce Gardner's been outstanding. Kayvon Thibodeau. If you're picking 2 and 5 and you use last year as a barometer, actually 2 was Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know what made me think that. Aiden Hutchinson, Kayvon Thibodeau. The quality of player that the Houston Texans are going to get.
And Thibodeau
you're
get
really, two of
and he's been dinged up after he got hurt in the preseason.
But he was the number one thought of to be the number one pick. Like, that's the type of talent, though. I'm not saying you're getting Kayvon Thibodeau. That's the type of talent you'd be getting if both picks finished in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have, and that's why I've been so adamant about embracing the suck, because it's short-term, and you can get to a long-term level of success quicker should you follow that plan and stay, you know, unequivocally stick with it, no matter how many people have wanted you, including Granato, to jump off.
Yeah, I don't know why Granato was telling us not to. I bet you Granato wants to embrace the suck right now.
Well, early on when they were in games and they had a chance to maybe win some of these close games, then you have a different maybe perception of what your season could be. But like at this point, given where they are in the standings, given what the rest of their division looks like, I just don't see this team being able to string together a bunch of wins. So at this point, you're better off rooting for losses, get that top pick, and you could decide whether or not you want to use one of those picks on a quarterback. That'll be the next debate.
Yep. And the fact that Browns pick gets better and better every week is fantastic. As you mentioned, Jeremy, the schedule gets it's not lightening up for them anytime soon. So you hope that they continue to embrace their suck so that you can continue to stockpile that second pick getting as high as it can be, too.
They could have won that Ravens game, too. Like, I feel like the Browns aren't far off. Now, they need a quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good kick. Start times have been announced for the World Series, by the way. All of them are starting at 7:03 Central Time. Every single game of the World Series, 7:03 Central Time, and of course we'll have the national coverage here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today, Jake?
A lot on the Astros, a little bit on the Texans, plenty on everything going on with the World Series. So we have Todd Callis joining us at 4:15. So looking forward to that conversation, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to celebrate with Astros fans.
Todd Callis, always very good. Blankers, what do we make of working with Brendan again tomorrow? The fact that he's selling us out almost like two, three times a week.
It's like working with a part-timer or an intern, right? I mean, you just kind of you understand there's going to be a lot of mistakes made, and you just realize he'll be gone before you know it.
I feel like when we come to work every day, I'm not sure what we're going to see. Like, I'm not sure if we're going to see Brendan. I'm not sure if we're going to see B-Mac. I'm not sure if we're going to see Belmer. We might see Sean Mapes pulling double duty, which tip of the cap to Sean Mapes.
Doing a lot of extra
I don't
work.
Even know what we're going to see each and every day in that producer spot.
Well, and the fact that, again, for his own benefit, all about him, he could have already been back in Houston, at least prepping for tomorrow's show. But at the last minute, they said, hey, we'll give you a $1,000 travel voucher if you stay. He said he jumped up and couldn't get there quick enough. Well, where's the dedication to the show?
And he's in Dallas.
Yeah,
he
do some
work. Drove. It's 3 hours away.
It's ridiculous.
How do you have a noon game in Dallas and you don't make the next day's noon show?
How
does that happen?
We've hammered him before. We can hammer him again. He deserves every bit of it.
B-Mac filling in, did a fabulous job doing all the hard work. He's Blankers. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.